Have you ever heard of Ishmael and Hagar? Ishmael was the son of Abraham by Hagar, Sarah's handmaid. Paul uses this true Old Testament story to show the relationship between the Old and New Testament. We hope that you'll stay tuned as we study together.
And now, John Grubb.
We're so thankful that you have joined us today as we continue our study of basic facts of the faith. In our basic facts of the faith series, we have discussed why we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Why we believe that God exists, that He created this universe, that He gave us His Word so that we can know His will for us, so that we can go to heaven. We noted together that God's Word is our standard of authority in religion. And we're discussing the Old and New Testament and their relationship to one another. In our last lesson, we pointed out that God made a promise to Abraham, as recorded in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, that in his seed all families or all nations of the earth would be blessed. And in the third chapter of Galatians, Paul points out that God was telling Abraham this good news in the long ago, that both Jew and Gentile would be blessed through his seed, which is Christ, and that the law of Moses was given as a temporary law. It was given to the Jews only and not to the Gentiles. And so in our last lesson, we talked about these aspects, these points of the comparison between the old law and the new law, the law of Christ, and their relationship. The Apostle Paul also shows us we are not under the law of Moses, but under the law of Christ in Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 through 31. Paul gives an allegory comparing the two laws in this passage of Scripture. And he uses Sarah and Isaac, comparing them to Hagar and Ishmael. Of course, Hagar was Sarah's handmaid, and Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham so that he might have a seed. For you see, God had made the promise to Abraham when he was 75 years old, and 10 years had gone by, and no son had been given. And so Sarah decided maybe she could help God to bring about his will. And so she gave Hagar to Abraham, and it was Hagar who gave birth to Ishmael. But this was not to be the son of promise. God said the seed would come through Abraham and Sarah. And so it was 25 years after God made the promise to Abraham that Sarah gave birth to Isaac. And it would be through Isaac and his seed that all families of the earth would be blessed. So Paul uses this information and has Hagar and Ishmael represent the Old Testament and Isaac and Sarah representing the New Testament. The source of the Old Testament was Mount Sinai. The source of the New Testament, the beginning of the church, was in Jerusalem. Paul says in this passage of Scripture that Ishmael and Hagar represent bondage, but that Isaac and Sarah represent spiritual freedom. There's no promise made to Ishmael in regard to God blessing all families of the earth. But it was the promise made to Isaac that through his seed, all families would be blessed. And so Paul makes a comparison between the two laws, between the old law and the new law. And then in verse 30 of Galatians chapter 4, Paul asks the question, cast out which one? The bond woman and her son. The bond woman and her son represent the old law, the law of Moses. It is cast out. The old law is cast out, and we are now under the new law, the law of Christ. And so all of these passages that we have talked about in our study concerning the Old Testament and the New Testament tells us that no one today is under the law of Moses. We are now under the law of Christ. Once again, there are a number of passages that tell us we are under the law of Christ, not the law of Moses. Let us consider these passages together. The first one is Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonderful works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Then in Matthew 17 and verse 5, when Jesus was with Elijah and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Bible records, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear Jesus, not Moses or Elijah. Then in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In John 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. And then in Galatians 6 and verse 2, Paul says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. All of these passages point out that we are under the law of Christ, not under the law of Moses. Even though people are no longer under the Old Testament law, there is still much we can learn from its pages. For example, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, Paul tells us, for whatever things were written before, that is the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul adds this, "Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 and 11. Without the Old Testament, we would not be able to understand many passages in the New Testament. When the New Testament mentions Old Testament characters, if we did not have the Old Testament, we would not be able to understand the point made in the New Testament. The Old Testament reveals from where the universe, sin, nations, and languages came. When Jesus said in Luke 17:32, "Remember Lot's wife," if we did not have the Old Testament, we would not know who Lot's wife was or why we should remember her. And so you see, we're not under the old law today. Some people say the law of Moses has been done away, therefore there is no law to follow today. But we've already seen from our lesson that we are to fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6 and verse 2. So there is a law today, and James says in James chapter 1 and verse 25 that there is a perfect law of liberty. What is that law for us today? It is the New Testament. All of the Bible came from God. But His law for us today is found in the New Testament. And so as we add to the discussion, as we add to the material, we see, yes, all of the Bible came from God. But not all of the Bible applies to us today. Remember, God commanded Noah to build an ark, but He does not command us to do that today. That law was given for Noah only and his family. And of course, we know because of that, Noah saved his family from destruction. And because of Noah, you and I are able to be here today. But we do not have the responsibility to build an ark. The law of Moses was given to the Jews and to the Jews only. It was never given to the Gentiles. When Jesus came, He took the law of Moses out of the way. So now, today, both Jew and Gentile are reconciled in one body, that is, the body of Christ, which is His church. So if people want to know today what law we are to follow, it is the New Testament. Now, as we continue our study concerning basic facts of the faith, we now discuss why Jesus came to this earth. There are two main reasons why Jesus left heaven to come to earth. It is important that we know these reasons. The first reason that Jesus came to earth was to save sinful man, to give mankind a chance to have our sins forgiven. Why do we need a Savior? The reason we need a Savior is because of sin. Sin is man's greatest problem in his life. The Bible clearly says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 3 and verse 23. Every person who can tell right from wrong commits sin. The Apostle John also tells us this fact. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, John says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." And so we learn that all people have sinned. Once we come to the age when we can tell the difference between right and wrong, we sin. And this is a problem with which the Bible deals. What is sin? Sin is missing the mark. Romans 3 and verse 23, remember, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so when we talk about sin missing the mark, it's like someone shooting a gun or a bow and arrow at a target. When you shoot at a target, you want to hit the bullseye. But sometimes we miss the bullseye. Sometimes we miss the whole target. And so sin is missing the mark. Our mark is to render obedience to God. When we fail to hit the target, we sin. John calls it lawlessness in 1 John 3 and verse 4. He adds in 1 John 5:17, "All unrighteousness is sin." Also, "The wages of sin is death." Romans 6 and verse 23. Sin causes us to go away from God. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. "And Christ came to the earth to bring us back to God." 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21, and Ephesians 2 and verse 16. Let's look at these passages. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear." So when we sin, we are separated from God. And it is because of that separation that Jesus came back into the world to reconcile us to God, to bring us back to God. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Separated from God by sin. brought back to God through the sacrifice of Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 16. And that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Ephesians 2 and verse 16. We have shown one of the reasons Jesus came to the earth was because of sin. From where did sin come? The answer is given to us in the first book of the Bible. After God created Adam and Eve, He put them in the Garden of Eden, giving them everything they needed. He also gave them commands they were to follow. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. God clearly told them what to do. They were not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The third chapter of Genesis tells us what happened. Beginning in verse 1, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." This is found in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve, sin entered into the world. Romans 5, verse 12. "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men." Now, a lot of people stop right there when they're reading this verse, but we've got to read all of it. It says, "And thus death spread to all men because all sinned." Sin entered the world by Adam and Eve, but we do not inherit their sin. We become sinners because we also sin. God already had the plan to send Christ to the earth to save man from his sin. "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Matthew 1, 21. Luke 19, 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And then Paul says in Romans 5, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5, verses 6 and 8. Yes, Paul says, this is a faithful saying. and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Why did Jesus come to the earth? He came to the earth to save mankind from their sins. In our next lesson, we're going to discuss not only did Jesus come to save man from his sins, he came to purchase his church. Please make plans to be with us next time as we continue studying God's Word and those basic facts of the faith.